Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Burt Show.
Here we are starting the show today, and it's already maybe a comedy of errors. Look at Kristen's ghostly forehead today.
Well, I just now noticed this.
So I put white makeup on my pristine forehead so the temporary tattoos are really pop so you can see the logo better because, you know, I care. I'm a giver.
I mean, they're paying money.
Yes.
For the advertising space on your forehead, so... I mean, either do it right or you do it wrong. You're going to do it right.
Yeah. However, I got here early this morning and Tommy got here and he cuts out the temporary tattoos that he's been making at home. Like there's a kit you can buy on Amazon. You can print them out and you can put whatever you want on your body. And I got it and I walked to the bathroom and then thank God before I even started to put it on, I looked at it and I'm like, I can read this because it's written the right way. And when you put a temporary tattoo on, it has to be backwards. So I went back to Tommy and I was like, yeah, you need to reprint this because it's backwards. So he's trying to figure out the printer right now. So now we need to figure out because the tattoo was not ready prior to the start of the show because this... this particular client paid $750.
Oof.
And I left my glasses and everything in the bathroom.
It's Grand Arch Tree Service.
Thank you. I can't read anything right now because all my stuff is in the bathroom. So Grand Arch Tree Service is sponsoring my forehead today. And they donated $750 to Burt's Big Adventure. But they are missing out on advertisement in the first break. So how much should we Venmo them back?
That's a good question. We're going to have to do the math on that. Okay. So what is your base that you have on your forehead right now?
Oh, it's just like a white makeup.
Okay.
Yeah, it's literally just like a white, like kind of eyeliner makeup pen or whatever. And I just, and then I brought my sponge so I could like, you know, blend.
It's my foundation from the winter.
I do. My skin probably is pale enough that I don't have to do this, but you know, just to make it really pop.
Yeah, sure. You went all out. All right, so Grand Arch Tree Service, we will make this up to you. There's two mentions already this morning, so maybe we make it up verbally. If not visually for this very first break, but it'll be ready the next break for sure.
And just to let you know the level of commitment behind this this bit, their logo was too girthy for my forehead.
Oh.
We needed to elongate it. Okay. So they actually rearranged the logo a little bit.
Okay.
So you have the tree and the name. Grand Arch Tree Service, but the phone number wasn't going to fit.
Okay, it's a lot of girth and a lot of length. It can't all fit on your forehead.
That is quite the endorsement for Grand Arch Tree Service.
So I ordered eye black, like those stickers, and we were going to write the phone number, and I did like same day from Amazon and did not come. So our intern Sadie is on her way to Walgreens to buy a black eyeliner pen so I can write the phone number of the tree service on my face.
Well, you are working hard for Green Arch. They know that.
I hope they understand.
Hasn't been a great launch this morning, but you are working hard to make sure they get their proper forehead signage.
Fingers crossed that we all have all this situated by the next break.
All right, so that's the first thing that's gone wrong this morning. The second thing is, you know, there are some that say mild irritant first thing in the morning is good for you. It actually like will wake you up a little bit, kind of shock you into the morning.
I'm there. Good.
All right. Yeah, you're there already. All right. So then I pull into my parking spot.
Oh, no.
There's Ethan. Ethan again is parked. He backed into the spot and he put up a road cone with a sign right next to his car also that says reserved for Atlanta's radio treasure. And he signed it the enemy. Okay. So that's my mild irritant this morning.
My mild irritant too, because that means my spot was taken this morning.
Ethan's taking out half of the show.
And I was up half the night last night with two sick kids. So I'm like peeling into the lot because I'm late.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get my spot. And I go and there's a car and a bunch of road cones. And I'm like, now this was cute, but now I'm annoyed.
I literally have had a virtual listener tell me that they live right down the street and for $10 a day, they will park in the spot and then wait for me to show up and then take off because they have to be up at around the same time. I wasn't going to go that drastic, but I mean, this is now business.
Okay. That's insane.
So that might happen tomorrow morning, guys.
That's
all right.
Insane.
And things will be back in its natural order.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I'll take random couples for 200, Alex. And we're going to start off with Tiger Woods, who is currently dating the ex-wife of Donald Trump Jr., Vanessa Trump. They recently made their relationship public by sharing some photos on Instagram where Tiger captioned it, "Love is in the air and life is better with you by my side."
Man. It was a hard launch, man.
Yeah.
So tracking the origin of this relationship, I think, is going to be interesting because Tiger has played many rounds of golf with Donald Trump. They both live in Florida. So I'm just going to go ahead and assume that people are going to dig a little bit and find out that Tiger was around Donald's former daughter-in-law a long time ago, and that's where the chemistry started before it evolved into this.
Well, that's mad speculation.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's going to be out there today. It had to start somewhere, and I'm assuming they hung out with each other before.
It seems plausible, and she's obviously his type. I feel like she kind of has that same, what's his ex-wife's name? Elin?
Elin,
yeah. Yeah, that kind of blonde Scandinavian look. So it does make a lot of sense on the surface, and I kind of hope maybe a scandal comes out of it because I live for the drama, but might take people a little bit longer because I didn't even know Vanessa Trump existed until yesterday when she was hard launched on Tiger Woods' Instagram.
Yeah, you know, people love to dig, man. They love to be internet PIs. They are going to look and look and look. They're going to see the way he looked at her at random events back in the day when she was still married. This is going to be a thing.
Which Donald Trump son is this, his ex-wife again?
This is Donald Trump Jr.'s ex-wife.
Okay.
Jr.'s. Okay, so now there's also a lot of other unexpected celebrity romances, and some that you might not even guess unless maybe you live through them. But I figure we could play a quick round of which stars dated each other even though it sounds like they didn't. The way this game is going to work is I'm going to give you one Hollywood star and a list of multiple choice options of who they possibly could have dated. And if you get the correct answer right, then you get pride. And I will tell you why, what brought them together, according to the internet. So the first question is, which Hollywood action star had a fling with Cher in the 80s? Was it A, Bruce Willis, B, Sylvester Stallone, C, Tom Cruise, or D, Arnold Schwarzenegger?
She likes him young.
She does like a young buck. I think her current boyfriend's like 35 or something.
Yeah. And she can still pull that off. Who are our celebrities to choose from again?
Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, Tom Cruise, or Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Sylvester Stallone.
I'm not going with Stallone. wouldn't have been Tom
Cruise. No.
Schwarzenegger?
She dated Tom Cruise.
Really?
No, she did not.
Right. So they had a 16-year age gap. Cher and Tom Cruise apparently connected over their shared experiences with dyslexia. Who knew they were both dyslexic? All right, the second question. Madonna once had a short but wild romance with which NBA bad boy? Was it A, Dennis Rodman, B, Shaquille O'Neal, C, Charles Barkley, or D, Michael Jordan?
Rodman.
Rodman.
What? No, that's thumbs up. Dennis Rodman, yes, they had a very high profile romance that was fueled by their mutual love of rebellion in the spotlight, according to the internet. Okay, the third question, which comedian shocked everyone by dating rapper 50 Cent? Was it A, Amy Schumer, B, Chelsea Handler, C, Ellen DeGeneres, or D, Tina Fey?
Slam dunk here.
Yeah, Chelsea Handler. Yeah.
They had a very playful flirtation that turned into a brief romance. Okay.
But they really liked each other.
Yeah.
They really did.
Yeah.
I feel like they'd be a fun couple. They would be a couple I would want to go to like a dinner party with because I feel like by the end of the night, it would get so delightfully unhinged that it's the kind of night you constantly look back on.
And he's a super smart businessman also.
Very.
Man. Like, he came in here a long time ago and I wasn't really sure what to expect. I didn't know much about him. This is 15, 20 years ago, he came in here and blew me away.
And I don't know if this is 50 Cent's home or not. It might be a different ex, but did you hear the story of how she knew she was going to break up with a guy, right? but she hadn't done it yet. And she bought him a bunch of gorgeous trees to line his driveway because she knew when they bloomed, they would be stunning. And every time they bloomed, they would think of her. He would think of her.
That's pretty cool.
So she puts all these like she spent buku bucks on these like trees to line his driveway. And sure enough, like every spring and every fall, when they like when they bloom or when they change colors, he hits her up and he's like, I missed you. I'm like, that is diabolical.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Okay, last one. Before Ryan Gosling became the Notebook heartthrob, he dated which rom-com queen? Was it A, Jennifer Aniston, B, Meg Ryan, C, Sandra Bullock, or D, Reese Witherspoon?
I'm going to say Sandra Bullock.
Who is C?
Sandra Bullock is C.
Yeah, I'll go with her.
That is correct. The two met on the set of Murder by Numbers and dated despite their 16-year age gap once again. All right, Bachelor in Paradise will make a comeback this summer, but it won't be a bunch of hot young singles on the beach. I'll tell you about the new cast on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Yeah, I've been doing this show for 20.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
25 years, and there are times, every now and then, where we'll do something on the show where I'm like, I have this sort of out-of-body experience that I can't believe we do this for a living and we get paid to do it because three-fourths of the things that we do are so ridiculous. Today, I am having one of those thoughts. Like what we are doing this morning, you can't do if you're a salesperson, if you're a nurse, if you're a doctor, if you're in consulting. But here in radio,
yep.
When you sell a woman's forehead...
For advertisement space. Yeah.
As a billboard, then it just makes me realize that we are in a very unique position. And today, this morning, could be a comedy of errors as Kristen is trying as hard as she can to pay...
Fulfill my obligation.
Fulfill your obligation, yeah.
I'm trying to fulfill my obligation to the client, which so graciously donated $750 to Burt's Big Adventure. Yes, we sold advertisement space on my forehead. It's a long story. Burt thinks I have a pretty forehead, and here we are.
I don't think it. It is fat.
And I co-signed.
Yes, you could win forehead pageants for sure for days.
So I jokingly in a commercial break, not jokingly, I threw it out there because I'm a radio soldier. I thought I told you. And I was like, you want to sell advertisement on my forehead, which was supposed to be for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And now is for 5 days because Friday after you left the show because you had the bubble guts and everybody else was out, Abby was like, okay, so my OCD is OCDing and you can't just have a logo on your head for 4 days. You need one on for the full week. So we took one last, like we took another 1,250 donation on Friday to push us to $4,250 for Burt's Big Adventure.
Very nice. Mental illness did that.
And you got a $50 forehead coming too, right?
I'm waiting for it. I don't know if he actually submitted the photo or not, but our first caller was a guy named Matt, and he said that he would pay $50 for one of us to wear a photo of his cheating girlfriend on our foreheads. And I, being the queen of breakups, was like, I'm down. So we're waiting for that.
But so Tommy, you know, Tommy and I are getting here early this week so I can adhere said temporary tattoos on my forehead. Tommy has the kit. He's printing them at home. Yesterday, smooth as silk. Today, he handed me the tattoo and I go to the bathroom and right before I put it on, I'm like, it's not written backwards. Meaning if I put it on my forehead, the Grand Arch Tree Service logo is going to be backwards. So I come back, and of course, in true Tommy form, he... And so he's been in there...
Did he quit again today?
So
that's how he talks, because he's got all those Girl Scout cookies in his mouth.
So he's in his studio trying to figure out how to use the station printer, because he's done all this from home.
Yeah.
He's trying to print out on the temporary tattoo paper the Grand Arch Tree Service logo backwards so I can adhere it to my forehead. But we're having no luck with the printers. So I am just going to hold up this little piece of paper that I was supposed to adhere to my forehead for the time being. And then on top of that, I was supposed to have eye black with the company's phone number. Right? And our intern Sadie is currently at Walgreens picking up black eyeliner so I could write it on my face because that package didn't come yesterday from Amazon.
What a mess. Here's she's literally holding this up over her forehead as we're doing the segment.
Here's a crazy idea. What if we just tape it to your forehead, like the Grand Arch Tree Service logo, or we have a bunch of those Burt Show trucker hats in the back? What if we taped it to that so you don't have to get that bicep work in?
I think we've got options.
We do.
Let's see what happens over the next segment. But I think you holding it up over your forehead is a nice option for this segment.
All right, ready? Grand Arch Tree Service, 678-483-3038.
The Burt Show.
All right, Producer Jackson here, man. Your intent, I think, is good here. Is the impact on your girlfriend, though, going to be perceived as controlling?
Yes, and not just the controlling aspect of it, but maybe losing a little bit of autonomy. But I think I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Okay, here's the thing. My loving girlfriend, God bless her, she gets a little bit overwhelmed easily when it comes to certain types of the adulting things that we all hate to do. I'm talking, you know, when you have to call in something to your pharmacy because they can't refill a prescription, blah, blah, blah.
And you have to talk to somebody?
And you got to talk to somebody.
No!
Scheduling.
You have to talk to a real person?
The worst, right? Things
why
like
why has that become so painful? Like, where did the turn? Did we just become so isolated with texting and having everything accessible on our phone that the idea of having an actual phone conversation? Like a phone conversation with somebody is stomach churning.
Yes, I mean, first you're talking about time budget. It's easy to text. It's easy to email. There's no potential really of any face-to-face conflict or stress. So it's just an easier way to communicate. And we do it so often now that when you do get somebody on the phone, you're like, do I use my mouth?
Also, anytime I get anyone on the phone for something like Jackson's talking about, the attitude, I am asking them for the biggest favor on the planet and that I have to grovel to get anything done. And it's just so uncomfortable to be like, I'm so sorry that I need this to live, but would you possibly mind doing your job that you are paid for?
We've seen this all the time when we have like a voicemail set up and teachers have to call and tell us about their class, how they immediately come on and go, oh, I don't like leaving voicemail. I don't know how to leave voicemail. How do you leave voicemail?
And on the customer server side of it, there's actually an AI solution that's out now where you can have an AI voice call and do the entire scheduling for
Shut
you.
Up.
And the reason why that one's really good is because
that's the wussification of modern society.
I agree, but they'll sit on hold for you, and that's a huge one.
Yeah,
so, and at the end of it, it'll give you a wrap up of like you just saved yourself like an hour and a half of on hold with customer service.
But so many companies now, like Delta, instead of staying on hold, you can just they're like, hey, you know, confirm this is your number, hang up, and then as soon as you're next in queue, we'll call you back, and you don't even have to wait on hold anymore.
I know there have been movies done about this, you know, where we're just sitting in a chair getting bigger and bigger and bigger and never exercising and not doing everything because electronics and computers have taken over everything and all we're doing is staring at screens. That's where we're headed, man.
Oh yeah, it's a Wall-E moment that's going to come full circle for us for sure. But so it's stuff like that, and like she had a flat tire. The flat tire didn't get changed for like a very long time because she has AAA, who would literally come to where her car is parked and do the entire thing for her. It wasn't like a huge thing, but it's, again, having to call someone and having to go through those extra steps. And so I've just kind of been thinking, I don't really mind calling all that much. I don't really mind doing all this stuff this much. And at the end of the day, I'm inevitably the one that does it anyway, after it's been a long time of me kind of bugging her to like get something done or that should be on her to-do list. And so I'm thinking of just fully taking over like a lot of those sides of her life that give her so much stress and just doing them myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I'm enabling her to be like, I don't want to call it lazy, but like, you know, taking that kind of autonomy away from her. I don't know if that's a good idea or not.
Okay, so let's try to avoid some conflict here. All right, if you are going to be quote unquote assuming some of her responsibilities in the name of making things easier for her in areas she doesn't like, how can she reciprocate that to you so it's a fair trade, so it doesn't feel like you're being controlling?
But she didn't ask for this. She's not asking him to take the stuff over. He's seeing a problem, or what he perceives as a problem, and is wanting to fix it.
This is not a perceived problem. The woman's got a flat tire. And I'm sitting over here as somebody who was burnt out from handling the domestic labor and the professional labor in my life. And I'm like, all I want is some man to just take my garbage out once in a while. So you know what? I'm going to set feminism back 5 years, and I'm going to say, I don't see this as a problem whatsoever. In fact, I don't even really know why we're talking about it. This seems like a slam dunk. Like, do nice things for your girlfriend. This is all women want.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. And she's like, it's more of an issue because I hate to be the one that's constantly nagging and bugging her to do things. And at the end of the day, it's just easier for me to do it myself.
Yeah, maybe if you're going to err on the side of doing it and let her be annoyed by that.
I want you to look at my and my husband's relationship. If you start doing this, you're going to end up with somebody like me who can't do anything for herself.
Oh, no.
Is that what you want, Jackson?
We're close to that already.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
So if you were listening late in the Burt Show yesterday, you probably know why Mo has taken a mental health day today, man. I have never seen him so sad and vulnerable and break down the way he did on the show yesterday. He's had a lot of loss around him lately, a lot of family. We lost a Burt's Big Adventure kid a couple of days ago that Landon, that he was very, very close to, that brought him into their family. And he's just going through it, man. So
that amount of loss is going to take a toll on your soul and on your heart and on your body.
Yeah. So last night in the middle of the night, he's like, you guys, I'm not sleeping at all. I'm going to be useless tomorrow. So that's why you're not hearing his voice today. On the other spectrum, on the other side of that, Kristen has now taped the billboard to her forehead without getting into it. At least we're trying to do something for you guys.
Yes.
For Grand Arch.
So I was holding up the Grand Arch Tree Service logo, which is supposed to be adhered to my forehead. But it was printed the wrong way. So I have now taped it to my glass. I tried taping it to my forehead, but because I put the white paint on there, the tape won't stick to my forehead. It's too oily. So I have since taped the logo to my glasses, and look. It's not going anywhere. It works.
Grand Arch will not be able to say that you at least didn't try.
Giving you my all, Grand Arch Tree Service. Hey.
All right. If we're going to talk about customer service, and we're going to talk about the funniest, and we're going to talk about the worst customer service stories, Katie has one here in just a second, but we always have to start these out with the classic. Mm. The Dell customer service call.
Yeah, I'm calling about the computer that's on sale. It's $9.99.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to order that one.
Okay, and no speakers?
Speakers don't come with it?
No, sir.
Okay, well, let me read it a little bit better, and I'll call back.
Why? You got the flyer in front of you?
Yes.
And why you call me? That gets me. Call me and call me again. It's going to be back.
I didn't realize that it didn't have speakers, and I don't want speakers for this price. So I'll just look somewhere else and find me another computer.
Oi!
There we go.
Unbelievable. Like a little girl. I can't believe it. Only four speakers. Go ahead, little girl.
Let me talk to your manager.
Little girl. You are little girl. Little girl. Little girl. Little girl. You are little girl. Little girl. Little girl. Little girl. Little girl. Thank you. We are this company.
Are you going to let me talk to your
phone? Because anyway, you're going to call someone else.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I am. Little baby hair. Little hooker.
I forgot I called him a hooker.
Yeah.
Talk to your
snapped at Dave.
Is that your first time hearing that, Abby?
Yes, I've never heard that before. And I'm just sitting here, I'm like, why didn't this man just hang up?
I wouldn't have. I would have. I played that thing out for 10 minutes listening to that.
Oh, man. That is an oldie but a goodie that will never go out of style.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
Little hooker.
Good luck following that one up, Katie. What happened?
Well, this one is the reverse. It was the customer who was working my mother's last nerve.
Oh,
so,
no.
I don't know what it is. My mom actually enjoys working in customer service. And so she, yeah, I know, right, Kristen?
The shock.
That's crazy.
What? The horror.
Yeah, she typically enjoys it. She likes interacting with people.
Mm-hmm. That, I mean, when you think of what that job really is, when you wake up in the morning, you know you are going to be dealing with fires all day long. Now, there's a philosophy in business that if you just say to yourself, look, something's going to go wrong today, and you get into the mentality of that, then you're ready for it. Customer service, that is your job. You're going to get complaints all day long.
You are literally dealing with people on their worst day. You are seeing the worst versions of everybody. This goes for customer service. And then my brother made me realize this because my brother, he's a firefighter. He's a paramedic. And also the same goes for police officers. My sister-in-law is a police officer. Yes, there's good stories, but when you think about what they do, you're seeing everybody on their worst possible day as their probably worst possible self.
If you lined up 1,000 possible jobs, the bottom three for me in no particular order would be customer service. It would be professional mover.
I knew you were going to say that.
All right. And again, I've said this before, the ticket taker at Dave & Buster's when all those little kids are negotiating and trying to figure out how many tickets they have and what they can buy.
We experienced that for the first time not too long ago at Kaylee's daughter's birthday. And I'm watching an almost four-year-old try to decide what he is going to spend his tickets on. I wanted to hurt somebody.
Yeah, I feel at one of those kind of entertainment places that they should give you Valium right before your shift every single
day. That should be one of the things you can buy for 50 tickets.
Man, I'd be in there all the time playing skee-ball.
So she gets a ton of the calls where you get people on their worst days.
Yes.
Like that, those calls are common, but this call, I just had to laugh out loud. It was just so funny. So she works in car insurance. And so this guy calls and she's like, good morning. How can I help you? Right. And immediately he's like, I got the quote. Let's lock in this quote. Cause he went online, I guess, got his quote and he's trying to sign up for that rate that he was quoted. So mom's like, okay, sir, slow down. First, let me see if I'm licensed in your state. He's like, the quote. She's like, sir, what state are you in? So he tells the state, she's like, okay, we can proceed with this. So as they go down, she's getting all his information, and apparently like, there's some rule that you have to list everyone who lives in the same house with you. So she's like, is there anyone who lives in the same house with you? They have to be, it's legal that they have to be listed and stuff. So he goes ahead, he's like, yeah, this is my wife, da-da-da. And she's like, okay, sir, just let you know that she legally has to be listed. She doesn't have to be on your policy, blah, blah, blah. Then he hesitates, he's like, nah, take her off. And she's like, but sir, you legally have to. You just told me. So are you saying that she doesn't live with you anymore on this recording? And he's like, yeah. She's like, okay, you said it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she goes through because he's in a rush. And so he's like, the quote, go to, like, hurry this process up. So she takes that off. She's going through. She's putting the rest of his information in. And as she's trying to get his information, he's just still rushing her. He's being like, just like, hurry up type of thing, right? So she finally gets to the point where he's flagged. Something pops up. And his account is flagged for whatever reason, which means they cannot continue with their the application process right then. It has to be like investigated. It's going to take like 2 to 3 business days. Right. So after all this rushing, she tells him, unfortunately, sir, we can't proceed right now. It's going to take some time. And he just quietly gets real close to the phone and says, F you.
What? What?
And he whispers it.
Normally somebody would go for like yelling, but instead he decides to like whisper it to her.
It is more impactful, don't you think?
Uh-huh, that's sinister.
I would have way more fear of thinking this person is going to find out where I live and they're going to come get me.
The whisper is diabolical.
Yes.
But then it didn't stop there. She's like, well, I'm sorry, sir. Is there anything else I can help you with? He's like, ma'am, I don't think you heard me.
Is he saying it just low enough so he hopes like the Lord doesn't hear it?
I guess. I don't know.
Is he going to record it?
It's like he said it in the regular voice, ma'am, you didn't hear me, and then went back to whisper, F you.
Oh, he doubled down.
So he doubles down on this whisper of F you. And she's like, sir, I just hope you have a great day. He's like, F you. And then click. What the heck?
So he must have been in a room filled with people or something that...
I guess. I don't know. It's just the fact that he just whispered it to her and then was pissed and hung up.
Yeah, that's sinister. That's scarier than anything else.
The Burt Show.
I'm so way past trying to be cool, but I also don't want to be that guy that's like telling everybody in the neighborhood to slow down because you're driving too fast or telling people, like, turn down your music, it's too loud. And I might be heading down that way with this. Maybe I'm just getting more reserved, but it seems to me now that there are TV shows that are trying to shock us, I mean, as hard as they can, with no real intent behind the shock. And let me give you two examples here. If you're watching this season of The White Lotus, I can't give away exactly what happened in this last episode, but if you go anywhere online, they are talking about a specific scene that happens in a yacht. That is so...
It doesn't happen on the yacht. It happens on the beach because they have taken the yacht to the...
No, this is on the yacht.
Oh, did something else happen after the beach?
It's on the yacht.
This is on the yacht. Yeah, this is on the yacht in the middle of the night. Okay, yeah, you're going to have to watch.
Dang it, I don't think I've finished that episode yet.
You definitely haven't finished it yet or you would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Because you remember what happened. Didn't that happen on... beach as well?
This is 100% on the yacht. And everybody knows what I'm talking about if you heard it, right? It has to do in one of the yacht rooms. And that's all I'll say about it. But it is part of the most shocking TV, I think, that anybody has ever seen physically. And I'm not sure it has ever happened in the real world either. But it seemed to me like they could have made the point about a couple of characters in this TV show without getting as graphic as they did. And I think they did it so we would be talking about it in this way, but it's becoming too much.
Yeah, this season of White Lotus, and I'm a big fan of the other two, it feels like a whole bunch of nothing.
It's weird.
It's weird, yeah. And it's a bunch of nothing, and it's like everything they do is trying to shock you from the choice in actors and physical features to that plot line that you're talking about to another where Walter Coggins, his character, meets up with an old friend and the what they're talking about. You're just like...
That conversation was like I took some sort of drug and it was so hard to follow. And also... It was very odd.
And it has nothing to do with the plot, which is what irritates me. It doesn't move the plot forward. It's just random out of nowhere for shock value.
Yeah, what she's talking about is the transformation one of his friends has made and the conversation, the graphic conversation about it. That's just in The White Lotus. I think I'm also thinking about Saltburn. Also, there are two specific scenes in Saltburn that were just so over the top that I think the producers and writers knew that this is shock value and it will get people talking about the show. One of them had to do in a cemetery that was ad-libbed, but certainly didn't need to really be in the TV show to make it any better or make it worse. And it just seems like these things, and again, maybe as I hear myself talk, I hear this reserved guy, which I have never really been before, but... It just seems to me like I love watching TV, but do I have to watch TV and think that, okay, when the dad leans back in his chair and his robe is going to expose his private areas for no real reason at all, which happens in White Lotus, what is it moving anything along?
Oh, well, it moves some.
You like that one?
Go ahead, Lucius Malfoy.
I actually think that scene makes sense. Makes sense just because he's so zooted and they wanted you to realize like how bad off he is. So that one I get. You also have to remember too, like we grew up with cable. And so I think now, too, with like if you're watching HBO, if you're watching Netflix, if you're watching Hulu, they're going to push the envelope. They always have.
This is so past the envelope.
I don't think you sound like an old fart by any means by talking about this, because there is one scene in the first season of Outlander that shocked me to my core so much. And this is one of my favorite TV shows of all time.
I think I know what you're talking about.
I had to take a break from the show for like weeks at a time because it was so graphic and you knew why this scene was happening because it was pushing the plot forward. It made a lot of sense for the characters. But
I do feel like because these streaming services don't have as many parameters as cable, I'm like, isn't there a way to do it where, yes, it's graphic and you know what's going on and you still kind of get that like jarring shock to your system, but without being in the room with them the whole time?
Yeah, and the way it's shot really does bring you right in the room. I mean, I was sitting there, Amanda and I were watching it, and I felt myself so tense. And we both literally got up out of bed going, is this, are we really watching what we're seeing here? That's how shocking it was.
Yeah, and I've noticed too, like I just finished Paradise on Hulu, which is, there is one scene that will haunt me forever, but it is very graphically violent. But the way that they've done it and they've juxtaposed it with an instrumental cover of Phil Collins' Paradise song, it's just, there's a way to do shock value that's beautifully executed that makes it into art, you know? And so that scene, even though I flinched watching it, will haunt me forever because the way they developed the characters, the way they made you not care about this character's death in the beginning, and then by the end, like, I'm sobbing over it, and the things that he's told, and the things he's, you learn more about him, and then you see this violent, violent end to this beautiful classical piece. I'm getting goosebumps talking about it, and I'm like, that, I wish I didn't see it, but I also am so glad I saw it. Like, that to me was art. Things like, even Saltburn, not quite art, but I could see it shows you how depraved the character is.
The bathtub thing you think was necessary? Like a pool?
I think it speaks to really? The depravity of the character, yeah. So you understand how disturbed the person is. But White Lotus, I'm like, this isn't art anymore. This is just shock value. And it's like, I feel that way watching American Horror Story. Anytime I watch that, I had to stop because I'm like, it's just the stupidest stuff. And it's just to make you uncomfortable and squirm. But for the sake of like being mean, not for the sake of art. And I do think there's a fine line, and I think you can execute it well. And these shows are dropping the ball.
Yeah, with this new season of White Lotus, I'm barely hanging on by a thread because it's a whodunit. So you want to figure out like one who, if you've ever watched the shows, you know somebody kicks the bucket. So if one, we got to figure out who does, and we got to figure out who did it. And after the first three, it's taken me so many episodes to actually like still care.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm at the point where it's like, which is why I didn't even finish that one episode, because I'm able to easily pause it. Whereas the previous two seasons, I would never have done that. I would have watched it like all the way through.
Now, at the end of the day, this is exactly what the producers and writers want, though, right? Is for us to be on the radio talking about how graphic this scene is and how inappropriate it is.
Because people can watch it.
Yeah, it's human nature. Now people are going to be like, the White Lotus? What scene is that? We need to fast forward to the yacht scene.
You know? No, honestly, they just need Parker Posey talking more on press junkets, because the only thing I know about this season is Piper No! So Bilme! Buddhism! From TikTok.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
While you guys might be obsessed with the Sterling K. Brown show Paradise, I will be tuning in to season 10 of Bachelor in Paradise. And so last night was the season finale of Bachelor 29, where our Bachelor Grant proposed to a woman, and yeah, they're going to run off into the sunset. But normally they take all the rejects from all the previous seasons of The Bachelor and Bachelorette, and they put them on one horny little beach, and they get some cocktails in them, and it is dramatic and beautiful and so much fun to watch.
It's a reject island.
It's reject island.
It's misfits. It's a Bachelor or Bachelorette misfits.
When everyone's a 10, can you really call it reject island? I mean, it's rejects for hot people. And so normally it's very entertaining to watch. I have kind of tuned out the last couple of seasons because I feel like the franchise has gone downhill. It's really depressing. But I feel like this might bring it back, because instead of having normal hot people on reject island for Bachelor in Paradise, they're going to have old hot people on Reject Island.
No, they're doing the Golden Bachelor?
They're doing the Golden Bachelor in Paradise. So normally it's a lot of hot singles. They're wearing bikinis and they're in their little swim trunks and they're getting super drunk. This is going to be like The Villages, but in Playa Mujeres, Mexico.
On. Really? It's oh boy, past the 70!
I think it's going to be an interesting little switch. And you know what? It might get me to start watching it again, because I feel like sometimes the seasons can feel so copy and paste, where it's like, this guy's talking to this girl and also this girl, and it just gets to be the same formula. Whereas I have never seen 12 old hot people on one beach before, to where I'm like, what's going to happen when Gary gets a couple of pina coladas in him?
Oh yeah, white Russians for everybody!
They're going to be playing bocce ball. They're going to be playing racquetball, pickleball.
Pickleball, yeah.
It's going to be so wholesome, I think. Or maybe don't get scandals. Mm-hmm. Who knows? I feel like when you get to that age, you're not thinking about what the consequences are of your actions because, like, you got 20 good years left, so might as well make a fool of yourself on air.
I didn't watch The Senior Bachelor all that much, but I saw some...
The Golden Bachelor, Herbert.
It is, like the near-death bachelor, bachelorette. But it... In the clips that I saw, it just made me realize, like, we never evolve. Like, mm-mm. The same problems that we have when we're 20-year-old men and 20-year-old women, we have the same cattiness, we have the same cliques that form at 70 as we do at 20.
And it's kind of beautiful to see.
Yeah, I mean, I told you, whenever I used to go visit my dad in his 55 and older golf community there in Orlando, Florida, no, he was not at the Villages, so there wasn't an STD breakout. However, they did do a drug bust because there was somebody on a golf cart going in between, like, the trailers and delivering weed to everybody.
Oh yeah, this is real common in these places, man.
Yeah. So sorry, not trailers, mobile homes, as I was corrected before.
And I do feel like in this country, like, once you hit 85, you shouldn't have to, like, adhere to the law at
no.
all. Just do what you want.
Yeah.
The law shouldn't apply to you.
No, the villages that have, like, their own separate law, like their own law enforcement, their own jail. Like, if you have a village's crime, like, that's a different crime.
Right. Outside of, like, killing somebody, you should be able to do whatever you want. Red lights don't apply to you.
Yeah.
Drugs, whatever. Do whatever you want. You made it.
You're going 10 miles per hour anyway in your golf cart, so it's good. So yeah, it's going to be a really interesting season, and it's going to switch it up, so you will catch me on my couch this summer watching the Golden Reject Island Bachelor in Paradise. Back to the White Lotus. Now, I haven't seen the episodes, but I have recognized this one actress who was in another show I really loved on Netflix called Sex Education. So her name is Amy Lou Wood, and she's the actress that I think is best known for all those spaces in her teeth.
Yeah, I admire that she never got that fixed, man.
She never got it fixed. Maybe it's because she's from the UK. They don't have orthodontists out there, I don't think. And she said that she grew up really getting bullied for her teeth, but she says now that she's this big star and it's kind of a very unique part of her look and aesthetic, she says that she actually gets praised for it.
These videos just come up on my Instagram of, like, these orthodontists analyzing my teeth and going, so what she has here is a whatever the hell it is. I don't know what the hell it is. And they, like, dissect my teeth and tell and say what's wrong with it, but then at the end go, but we don't think she should change a thing. Mm. And it's like, oh my God, it feels so lovely after a real full circle moment after being bullied for my teeth forever. Now people are clapping in an audience because I've got lashes.
Yeah, I appreciate that she didn't get it fixed, that she's just kind of owned it.
Yeah, but she's also recognized too that she'll never be able to play an American because it's a very British look that she has with her teeth. And she's like, you will never see an American with teeth like this. So she goes, like, she almost admits, like, I've pigeonholed myself that I can only play British characters, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. And you don't need to play an American because we're obnoxious. And I feel like it's more classy to be British anyway. All right. Former New York Yankee star Brett Gardner is revealing the tragic cause of death for his 14-year-old son after a family vacation in Costa Rica. I am going to break the news for you on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.